Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Juwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Amen. Are you ready for God's word this morning? Okay, do you have your Bibles around? If you have your Bibles, please wave it. I'll let the devil be mad. So last week I taught on the prayer of a righteous man. You know, our theme for the month is prayer power, and so we're going to be continuing on the theme of prayer. But last week I focused more on individual prayer. So starting from Elijah, we moved down. We looked at Jacob. We looked at, you know, just what prayer did as individuals pray. This week, I want to move further, but I'm moving more into the corporate kind of prayer, beyond, you know, just individual prayer, and looking more into this power of prayer and how it works. Hallelujah. So I'm going to be speaking today on what I call prayer, the engine of the church. Everybody say prayer. The engine of what? My first car was a gift to me. Somebody gave it to me. I think I was about 20. That was just before I got married. So maybe I think I was about 24, 20, whatever, you know. And I remember there was a day I was driving it and I started hearing some noise. Kaka, kaka, kaka. It was a Mercedes-Benz, you know. And I started hearing some noise. Crack, crack, crack. I was always going, what kind of noise is this? I was actually going on a long distance trip for, you know, people that might know from Lagos to Ibadan. And I was on the highway. And I started making some strange noise. So I was like, what happened? So the interesting thing is that the car stopped, you know, and it couldn't move further any longer. So I had to park it on the side of the road. And then somehow, I don't know how I did, but I got, maybe I took public transport. Where it's so, you know, some years ago, I don't even remember, but I had to leave it there. And so later we got the mechanic to go pick it up. And so the mechanic told us that the engine had knocked. That the engine had knocked. Like, what? What does it mean, the engine to knock? So it has knocked. So, okay, so let's unknock it. You know? He said, no, it doesn't work that way. He said, if the engine has knocked, you have to take out that engine and then you have to put a new engine before the car can work again. So when he gave me the quote, I opened my mouth. Oh, Lord. You know. But I remember we eventually got it done. The engine was replaced. And then the car started working. And eventually the car was giving out, you know, to somebody. But I say that, and I just remembered talking about the importance of the engine. Now, there are, when it comes to a car or any kind of mechanical devices, there's the function that that device produces or does. There's a reason. A car is supposed to give us transportation. A plane is supposed to give us transportation from one place to the other. One of the things you don't want to hear when you are driving, when you are flying, is that one of the engines of the plane just went out. That people usually begin to shout, "Hey!" and they start to pray. They remember Jesus whenever such things happen. But you know, God help that it's just it's a twin-engine plane, not one engine. You know, so there is the. There's what the machine fulfills, its purpose, right? Then there are the different systems within the machine, right? For example, in the plane, you have all the different systems, the hydraulic, the landing gears, you know, all kinds of things. In the car, we have all kinds of things in there. So there is the system, all right? Now, then there is the engine. So there is the purpose that the machine is supposed to fulfill. There's a system, all right? And then there is the engine. Now, the purpose is very important. For example, when you talk about the church of Jesus Christ, the purpose of the church, the main purpose of the church is to disciple people. That's the main purpose of the church, to disciple people. In other words, to get people into the system of the kingdom. That's the assignment Jesus gave the church, for them to start thinking, living the kingdom system. So the evangelism is part of the discipleship because you have to, you know, to reach new people that you want to disciple. The fellowship is part of it. All those things are part of what? The discipleship purpose of the church. So the purpose is very important. All right. Now, to be able to do that, there are different systems that we have, you know. All the technical crew, the GQ system, all those things that we have, they're very important. But, just like the car, just like the plane, the most important part of that machine is what? The engine. If the engine fails, the purpose can be there, the systems can all be there, the plane will not fly. The plane will crash. The car will not move. Nothing will happen except the engine is running well. And that's why we do oil changes. Amen? Constantly. You take your car in to do oil changes because you don't want the engine to knock. You want the engine to keep going. You want to get there every morning, start it, and then it takes you. You don't want to turn it on and then, you know. That's why you do tune-ups and all that. You don't want to start and then what's wrong with this car? You know what happens? Something. The car needs some maintenance. Amen. So that's why we do, we do those things. So for the church also, there are so many things we can do. But the most important part of the life of a church is prayer. And that's what I really want to focus on today for the time that I have. Amen. Are you ready? Let's start by reading from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, starting from verse 11 actually. Matthew 21, starting from verse 11. This is, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the crowd answered, this is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Then verse 12. Jesus entered the temple area and he drove out all those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called what? A house of prayer, but you are making it a den of what? Of robbers. Now, you need to understand the context. The Pharisees, what was going on in the temple was religious, even though it was commercial. It was religious. Basically, the law of Moses required a lot of sacrifices. Do you understand? You bring turtle doves, you bring this, you bring that. And then somebody very enterprising there, one good Pharisee, is like, if people are buying turtle doves from outside, you know. I mean, they buy turtle doves from outside. They buy all these things from outside. I mean, if I just put a stand at the back, turtle dove, yeah, I'll make some money. Amen. So the guy started a businessman. Hallelujah. You know. And then must have been an Igbo man. You know the Igbo? You know, the Igbos are descended of the Hebrews. You know, that's what. So he just, started. And then Matthias saw it, that this guy, he started making some good money. So before you know it, Matthias also brought his own. This one will sell, shekels of this and that. So before he knew it, the entire temple became a commercial enterprise. Became a commercial enterprise. And everybody was selling. And so that's what everybody was coming to do. And then, you got to buy this, you got to buy that and all that. So Jesus got there that day. And he saw all of them trading all kinds. They call them money changers. Money changers also, when you want to present your tithe and all that, there's a particular way. So they were converting the money in preparation for worship. So there was so much commercialism going on. Does that remind you of any church right now? You understand? Have you seen Christian TV before? You know, Adam, I'm not going to mention. Have you seen TV, Joshua, before? I said, no. Sorry. I'm not saying it's Christian TV. You're the one that put that one in my mind. I didn't mention any name. Christian TV. You know, an offering of, you know, this amount of dollar, we will send you this oil. It was from Jerusalem. And nonsense and stupidity. Amen. We'll send you this one and all that, you know, for 6 easy payments of, put it on your credit card, 6 easy payments of $20, you receive this envelope, this handkerchief, and you put it, and this and this and that. In fact, you know, I saw 6, 6, 7. So the Lord said, if you can give 66 and $7 and 7 cents. You see people say 66 and 7. They won't pay tithe in their church, but they're selling $66.7 to one stupid preacher somewhere. Well, they don't even know what he's doing with the money. So there's a lot of commercialism ongoing, you know. And some of them started, you know, with, you know, nice, want to do right and all that, but it was going. So Jesus got there and disrupted it and said, don't you know that it is written that my house shall be called the house of prayer? Everybody say a house of prayer. He was quoting Isaiah 56 verse 7 there, you know. And so Isaiah actually expanded on it. Isaiah 56 verse 7, it says a house of prayer for all nations. He said, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifice will be accepted at my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer. For what? For all nations. So the house of prayer for all nations. First of all, it's a house of prayer where prayer will be made for the nations. Secondly, it's a house of prayer where people from different nations will gather to pray. He said, that's what my house is going to be called. So Jesus drove them out. Amen. He drove them out. Because they were not doing what was right with the temple. It drove them out. They were abusing the entire purpose. And so, now, we might not be selling, you know, things and all that, but sometimes there are things that we have substituted for the real thing, for the real purpose, absolutely the real engine of the church, of God, you know, purpose of God's house, that were substituted. So, this month, it's like the cleansing of Jesus. Jesus is coming, and he's whipping us, is doing all that in our lives. That there are some things that you have substituted for me. Now, for example, when the Bible talks about his house, so you know that in the Bible, in the New Testament, there is the house with capital H, which is the church, right? But then there is house, the temple, you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Have you commercialized your life? That's the question. Is your life all about money? Have you set up trading posts in places that are supposed to be prayer posts in your life? That's a question. Have you commercialized what is supposed to be sacred? One of the things that a wise Christian will know is there are some things that are not supposed to involve to be transactional, involve money. And that is when it comes to your sacred worship and obligation to God. The moment you miss it and you start putting money there, you begin to lose God's presence in your life. Pastors have to be careful. That's why I don't ever like talking, like making push about money, turning service in the morning. And if you've ever been in City Light, you will know that money is not what we focus on. Hallelujah. We don't focus on it. No, we teach people. And God blesses us. Hallelujah. God has continually blessed us. Year after year. We don't focus on that. Don't put pressure. Because you have to separate. You have to be careful about money. Everybody say, I have to be careful about money. Because Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. That's one of the things that contests. Have you commercialized, the temple? Your prayer, I'm talking about your prayer life versus what you'd use for other things. What you get in time used for other things, have you commercialized it? Do you have a time separated for the holy place where you are with God? Now, Jesus didn't tell them that they should not do commercial stuff. Jesus didn't tell them that they couldn't go and be selling turtle doves. But he just says that you have put that commercial thing in the wrong place. Did you get that? You have put the commercial thing in the wrong place. You have put it in the wrong place, the wrong timing. Amen. You could do it somewhere else, but you are put it in the wrong place. Exactly, that's what he's telling us as a church. That's what he's telling you as an individual. Does your job have more pull for you than God? You know, my wife and I did something recently. So we discovered that our kids were always very excited when it comes to soccer. Like, they're always excited with soccer. When it's time for soccer, they're the one that wake us up. Daddy, I have a game. Daddy, I have practice and all that. Okay? Now, they're doing well with church. We discovered, you come to church. Okay, I need to see you worship. I see some excitement when you're playing soccer. Okay? I need to see the same excitement when you're worshiping God. Because I'm supposed to teach you that nothing should have more passion for God, for you. You never give more passion to anything, for anything more than God. Okay? So, they come, but they didn't listen. So my wife and I just said, we have canceled your soccer. And he's already the one paying for it. Said, you have, we're what? Canceled it. Until I see you. Bow. That's good black pain, right? Until I see you, worshiping God and all that, I will not pay for your soccer again. And you will not go anywhere. So, of course, they thought it was a joke. So, that day, they had practice. We called their coach. So, they are not coming. So, we dawned on them when they didn't go that day. Daddy is actually serious about this. The next meeting we had, I saw them moving all around. See vision, you know. Oh, yes. And I said, you are still under probation. You are still under probation. How can you be? You see the energy they play soccer with? Then you get to church and you are behaving like... And in the same thing with adults. Some of us were, we were in the clubs last Saturday. I saw some of you. I wasn't there, but I saw you in the spirit. I saw the way you were rolling. I saw you. You got there early? If not even early. Before, they opened the door, you were there waiting. Then you paid money to get in. Did you get it? Then you got inside. And before they started shouting, you were the first one. They went, got to church. You will come late. You calculate it, Just, this is the part. Then you come late. Then you come in. They're worshiping. And you say, Jesus, you are my Lord. No, club is your Lord. Yeah. It's not Jesus. Club, that's your Lord. Because whoever is your Lord is the one you give your affection and attention. The primary affection and attention. That's the one. Some of us is not club. It's our work. Your work. When it comes to work like that, don't joke with me. I'll be a hard worker. You have, 100% record at work. That you are never late. You always do your work diligently. You even do extra. The one day, they are just looking for who is going to do it. You say, give it to me. You do it. But when it comes to heavenly things, kingdom things, your record is not okay. God cannot depend on you. God has to say, okay, I need to do something right now. And this person lives around that area, but I can't depend on him. I have to go and look for somebody that lives very far to do it. That's the way some of our lives are. Yeah. And so God will have to go and find somebody else to do it. Because he knows that if you will never do it, you are not dependable. Hallelujah. So that's what Jesus was showing us there. My house, you, the temple of the Holy Spirit, you are to be a house of prayer. Somebody say, I'm a house of prayer. I'm a house of prayer. I'm a house of prayer. So there's nothing wrong with commercial stuff. And you know what I discovered? And that's part of some of the people that are praying in the morning, some of the experience you'll have seen. You discover that when you organize your priority very well, the commercial part gets the anointing. The commercial part gets the anointing. Amen. My wife and I were looking yesterday. We look at those and we discovered that last year was the highest that we have ever given since this church started. And last year was the highest that we have ever saved since we got married. Last year was the least pressured time financially that we have ever experienced since we became married couples. In other words, the money is always there for what we needed to do. You know, there's a way that, you are praying for the money. No, we're talking about you are sitting on a cushion. You get what I'm saying? You understand? So that whatever need you need is there. You see, right now I don't have to worry about it. Amen. I don't depend on it. I depend on the kingdom. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? We discover it. I'm like, what's it? It's just priorities. Someone says it's just priorities. That's just it. Just priority. And it's not stress. Pastor, do you know that this church, in the month of December, we had 31,000 came in to the church. Just for the month of December. And that's not 100%. Now, I don't look at the tight record. I don't have time to be looking at that. Amen. But I know that it's not 100%. There's some of you right now, you're scratching yourself. I know. I wasn't one of that 31,000. All my own was $50. Don't move too much. Nobody's going to know that I'm talking about it. Amen. But what I'm telling you is that if you just follow God's direction, someone say follow God's direction, it will take care of that side. I mean, the ideas that are pouring to me that have commercial values, they just keep coming. I have different things in the works right now that have huge commercial values that can become multi-million dollar stuff. They're coming and they came directly from God. Priority. But you never see me. Have you seen me miss church one day since you know me? Say, Pastor Lan, where is he? He's at home. What is he doing? He was just tired. No. And if I am in church, have you ever seen my wife out of church? Where would that come from? That's not a marriage. You are in church and your wife is not in church. I'm not talking about wife that is pregnant or whatever. I'm talking about you being in church. Your wife is okay. Your wife is at home. I say, my wife said she's not coming. What? Or the wife is in church and the husband is at home. What kind of marriage is that? That's a marriage that, you know what you would do? You would do Chirac, no sex until church. You know what we did for the soccer, whatever. Until I see you worshiping God. Until I see you bowing down before God. No more. If I ever say I wasn't going to church, my wife will beat me. She will get belt. Are you listening? She will get belt and beat me off the bed. So what is wrong with you? I just say, baby, we're not going to tithe this month. We just want to divert it. She'll look at me. What's something? Are you crazy? What's happening to you? Now, it has gone to a point that it's our children. Daddy, all right. You can't even tell our children we're not going to church. They'll be wondering, are you crazy, Daddy? That's where they will. The morning prayer meeting, if we say we're not going one day, they will crucify us. Paul! Daddy, how come?
You know, the first day she's like, Daddy, how come we're going to church before going to school? Okay, I say, yeah, because we're trying to put God first for this time. But after then, after the other days, she was like, okay, Daddy, let's go. If you ever told her you're not going, you have to explain to her why you are not going this time. Don't, let me tell you something. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. There's nothing you have that cannot go in one day. The only thing that can never be taken away from you is God. So stop all this, you know, big head, whatever. What do you have? Who are you? Oh, man. That was not supposed to be part of, it was not supposed to be part of my sermon, but somehow he slipped into my sermon. Oh, God. All right, let me read something. They said, Jesus Christ, talking about Jesus, who is our Lord, he placed so much priority on marriage. I'll read a few verses and I'm going to stop. Sorry, we're going to stop this service by 11:30, so don't think I'm going to go. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark 1, 35. Prayer. Someone say prayer. Is the engine of the church. Very early in the morning, while it was still, Jesus got up. Say, he got up. So he also slept. He left the house. Someone say, left the house. And went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And what did he do? He spent the entire night praying to God. All night. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Jesus went out as usual. Somebody say, as usual. So this was not, you know, some of those things were not, you know, Jesus went to the mountain to pray regularly. Went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray! Hey. I want you, pray! So that you will not fall into trouble. You know, I pray that you will not fall into trouble. I pray that nobody in this place will catch cancer. I mean, I pray that nobody in this place will have a child that is on drugs. I pray that no one in this place will get into any kind of trouble. Those who have neglected prayer in the past, they've got into trouble and now they are seeking prayer, but it is too late. Who are you? Pray that you will not fall into temptation. In other words, the secret to keeping your future is to get into prayer. My sleep, my work, oh Lord Jesus. Do you know people that cannot sleep? They cannot sleep because of pain. The sleep is taken away. You know people that cannot walk? Don't ever put anything above God. That's what the rich fool did. Pray that you don't fall into temptation. Verse 41. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, and he knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. That's what happens. You know, when you start to pray in weakness, the angels of God begin to strengthen you. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. It was drops of blood. So it wasn't a prayer lying down the bed and say, oh Lord, today I see you go, you know, just prosper me. Bless. He rose up from prayer and went back to the disciples. He found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. So there were those sleeping
and they weren't praying. They didn't know what was about to happen, or that they were going to be arrested, and you know, before they were going to be denying Jesus. They didn't know what was coming, but Jesus knew what was coming. So they were sleeping, not knowing what was coming ahead. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. That's the question. Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up. And the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. That was when the trouble began. Before you knew it, Peter, who was sleeping, and all of them, you know, they started denying Jesus and everything. Because they were not prepared. But Jesus was prepared for what was coming. You don't know what is coming on the earth. You don't know what is coming in your life. But you pray in advance to prepare. Why did Jesus pray? Even though he was God in the flesh. Why did he pray? Hebrews 5, 7. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Hebrews 5, 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries. Everybody say loud cries. And tears. To the one who could save him from death. And he was hurt because of his reverent submission. If our Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray that intense, you need it. You need it. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The church was born in prayer. Acts 1, 14. The church which we are part of was born in prayer. It was a bunch of people gathered together that started to pray. That's when the birth of the church took place. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Everybody say constantly. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Everybody. And in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. That was the beginning of the church. 120 people gathering together in the midst of fear. They had just lost their Savior, just left them and all that they were. And the Holy Spirit had not yet come. It was in the midst of prayer that the church was born. Now, after the church was born on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:42, the church continued in that same spirit of prayer. The people devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to what? Prayer. The people devoted themselves. Everybody say they devoted themselves. Prayer doesn't just happen. You devote yourself to what? You decide to pray. It doesn't just happen. The people devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to what? To prayer. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. There was starting from verse one. There was a priority issue here, and this will tell us what is the most important thing in your life. What is the most important? What should take priority in your life? This will teach you. In those days, when the numbers of the disciples was increasing, it could be in your house when your money has increased, when your house has increased, or your responsibility has increased at work, or your responsibility as a parent has increased, your responsibility as a single has increased. The Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews. So your schedule for work is complaining against your schedule for, what do you call it, school. You understand? Or your marriage is demanding attention and your children are demanding attention. In other words, there was competing schedule because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. How many of you know that many times you see things that have been overlooked in your house, right? In your life. Oh man, I've not done all that. I've not done all this. Okay, verse 2. Look at the wisdom of the apostles. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it will not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on what? On tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, but we will give our attention to what? Prayer and what? And the ministry of the word. So they're saying that the priority, everyone say the priority. What they're talking about is that wisdom. Wisdom will help you with your daily things. God will send help and people, organization and all that. But the priority thing is what? Prayer and the ministry of the word. What is the priority of pastors? What's the priority of the church? It's prayer. Prayer is our main work. Amen. Prayer is our main work, and ministering the word is our main work. Not carrying tables, not doing all that. That's why you should never, you should never let your ministers get so involved in carrying things
you know, fixing signs, doing all that, that they don't get into prayer, because it will show up in your life, because they will deliver to you food that is not prepared. That's why we have ushering, we have all that department, so that people can focus on what they need to do, and you can get real impact when you listen. You get wisdom when you talk. That's why you say, no, that you focus on that. We will focus on this. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of what? The time of what? At 3 in what? In the afternoon. So, they had a time of prayer. They had a time of prayer. And they had to leave their house to go for the time of what? Of prayer. They had to go for the time of prayer. Acts chapter 4 verse 23. Acts 4 verse 23. Acts 4 verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer too. Everybody say together. They prayed. And they said after they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had prayed. Hallelujah. Prayer. Acts chapter 12. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. But when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guided by four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church was what? Earnestly praying for him. And as a result of the church praying, God released angels to go and deliver Peter. So you notice that Jesus, the early church, prayer was their life. Prayer was their lifeline. Prayer was their lifeline. Prayer is what made things work. Prayer was what was responsible for the acts of the apostles. They prayed for everything. They prayed for boldness. They prayed for healing. They prayed for signs. They prayed for forgiveness for their persecutors. They prayed for God to raise the dead. They prayed for when they were persecuted. They prayed. Jesus prayed. Jesus began in prayer, ended in prayer. The church started in prayer, continued in prayer. The church of the 21st century must also do the same. Otherwise, we'll continue our ineffectiveness and powerlessness. Our homes must become homes of prayer. Our lives must become lives of prayer. Our church must become a church of prayer. And that is one of the major things we're doing this year. We want to put this. Over the years, God has put different things to the DNA of this church. But one of those things that we want to put in this year is this church is going to be known as a church of prayer. Amen. Let me know how the church of prayer. It's going to be part of our DNA. That's it. And that's why we're beginning this year with prayer. Rise up on your feet. Thank you, Jesus. And so what's the conclusion of today? Simply, what's the main point? The main point is this. If you want to see God move, if you want to see God move in your life, you want to see God move in the church and through the church, if you really want to see mighty and amazing things happen, the way it will happen is going to be when we return back to the heart of prayer. When we return back to the heart and the act of prayer, is when we begin to pray together. We begin to pray individually. When we give the commercial, you understand, the commercial part of our lives, we put them in their place. And then the sacred part of our lives, we give it its place. It's when we begin to put God first in our lives. When fathers gather the children together and your kids can see you crying in God's presence. When mothers kneel down, when kids kneel down, when you gather your family and say, we're going to church, it is prayer time, whether it's morning, whether it's night, we're going to pray. Many things that you are trying to get, they will come to you. They will come to you. They will come to you. You will set God in motion. You will set God in motion. You can cut other things away from your schedule, but you can never cut prayer away from your schedule. I can never cut church away from your schedule. But that's what we are created for. Lift up your hands and just dedicate yourself afresh.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.